You're too damn white, guys.
How was your week?
Actually, I can never remember because I'm very compartmentalized, so all I think about is, like, what's happening right now. I can't remember what happened in the past.
Well, you got a lot going on. You're a dad.
Yeah.
You're working on space stuff, and you've got a podcast now. The parenthood thing is very busy. I got to give you that. I never know what's going on either, but I always look forward to this time.
Been waking up in the middle of the night, not by choice.
That's the worst. Is Athena sick?
Yeah, three types of sickness. And we brought her to the doctor, and they said, oh, what are those things with her eyes? And it's just like,
that's not a
good
question.
She looks, she has kind of like bags under her eyes, maybe. And so that's the fourth thing, just her face.
Yikes. This is actually perfectly in line with what we're talking about today, because we're talking about entropy. Entropy means things fall apart. I like to joke entropy is happens in scientific terms. Entropy is a fascinating concept, and I'm kind of just now in the past, you know, I've been aware of entropy for a while, but I've just been really digging into it this week, and it's amazing how much research has gone into energy and what energy is and how we use it and how we, you know, capture energy to do useful work. And entropy is the scientific principle that all energy is kind of in this constant dissipation. It's actually, a lot of people think entropy is kind of depressing, but this is why I wanted to talk about it, because I actually think it's kind of strangely uplifting in a weird way. Entropy is also kind of, it kind of connects everybody in a weird way. And, you know, if you're living, if you give off heat, if you have energy, that means you are connected in some weird way. You're sharing energy with other people on the planet. It's kind of like this picture of we're all in this boat together. So I think entropy is kind of cool. You know, it's not just depressing. It is sad that everything must die, but to live, you have to die. That's just part of the rules, right? You can't have life without death, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Circle of life thing. Like, so when you die, the bacteria eat you and kind of make nutrients for other organisms. Yeah, I guess so.
Apparently, you can't live without dying. So
right. I mean, like, if the dinosaurs had never died, we wouldn't be here. So yeah,
there you go.
It is the circle of life, as the Lion King says.
Entropy, it connects everything. So if you're living, you're connected to everything else that's living, and not just limited to people, also like plants and other animals. But also, I think the thing that's fascinating is entropy is, you know, it's the idea that energy, there's a finite amount of energy in the universe, and you can't create any more, and you can't destroy it. All you can do is transfer it from one form of energy to another. You can take fire, heat, and turn it into, like, locomotion, or, you know, you could. There's different kinds of energy, and you can transfer this energy around, but the total amount of energy in the universe is fixed, and there's nothing we can do about it. And I just think that's really cool. It's like we're living in a game or something. So I don't know. I thought entropy would be a fun topic. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, really, that's the first law of thermodynamics, the conservation of energy, and entropy is the second law of thermodynamics.
Right.
But I guess they're sort of related in a sense. Entropy
can't have one without the other.
Increasing disorder in a system. So systems always try to get to lower energy states. I like to think of it in the same way as gravity. So if you place like a cookie jar on a high shelf, it wants to fall. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It wants to fall down and break because that reaches its lower energy state. So all systems are kind of constantly trying to reach a lower energy state. So if it has energy, it wants to kind of transfer that energy into something else and reach a lower state. If it has potential energy. Basically, it's all the little microscopic configurations of a system. So if, like, you have a gas, there's all these molecules and they can do anything. And entropy says that they're always going to assume like a state with lower energy. And that's so they constantly disperse or dissipate. And it leads to increasing disorder.
Huh. I've never thought of it, but it is kind of like gravity. It's like the energy wants to go lower. It's just like gravity.
Yeah. Yeah. We always joked about on road trips, the car would always get dirty over time because, like, you put your garbage and stuff like that, or just like your shoes track in dirt. So we just said, like, oh, the car is gaining entropy.
Yeah. Well, this is actually a common misconception with entropy, and this is something we're going to talk about. So, you know, one of the things, there's this classic example that's used when people are trying to describe what entropy is of the messy room. I'm sure you've heard of it, Andrew, right?
No.
The messy room. So basically, there's like this picture that somehow gets used in classrooms of, it's supposed to describe entropy, and it's two pictures, and one room is a messy room and one room is a clean room. And the question is asked, which room has more entropy? And, you know, the definition of entropy is kind of a disorder of energy. So you would think that the answer is the messy room, but it's not entirely accurate when you think of it that way, because, you know, there's all kinds of loopholes. Like you could have a method to your madness. You could be the proud owner of a really messy room, but be able to tell me exactly where this little messy, dirty sweater of yours is in this huge pile of laundry. You might be able to go right over to it and pick it out. So that's not really disorder if you know where it is. So it's kind of like this weird, I feel like there's a lot of confusion over what entropy actually is, what it means. And so I thought it would be fun to have an episode where we talk about what entropy is in concrete terms. And I think that the first key to understanding what entropy is the first law of thermodynamics, which is that no energy can be destroyed or created. And I know it's not the same thing as entropy, but in order to understand entropy, you kind of have to understand that this entire universe has only a fixed amount of energy, and there's nothing we can do about it. So I think that's the first helpful key of understanding, is that it's kind of like this picture of entropy is kind of like what you do with the energy, what you're transferring it into, because you can use energy in all kinds of different ways to do all kinds of different things, but it's just, you're just converting it. You're not really creating it. Like when you accelerate your car, or you take a hit from your e-cigarette, or you light a fireplace, it's all the same. It's using the same energy that came from the Big Bang.
Yeah. And the total amount of energy in a system remains constant, but it generally becomes less useful, like waste heat. Anytime you run a light bulb, for example, an incandescent are the worst. They give off some of their energy as light. It's actually a relatively small
amount.
They're
the worst. They're the best.
And the rest as heat. Yeah. Like incandescent are just so wasteful because they generate a ton of heat. And you as a person generate 100 watts of heat, roughly speaking. So you're like a light bulb. And you're just giving off all this heat. And that's why, like, airplanes heat up if they don't have the cooling system, air conditioning working, or room heats up once you get in it. Because you give off a lot of waste heat.
So a human gives off about 100 watts of power? Is that constant?
Of waste heat. You generate a lot more power than that you run your muscles with, you run your breathing, you run your functions. But
I was about to say,
you generate about 100 watts of waste heat, which is not useful to you. That's just like the entropy, basically.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, so entropy is kind of this picture of, if you picture, like, one picture that was really helpful for me was a hot cup of coffee sitting on a table. And then you just picture what's going to happen to that hot cup of coffee over the next 30 minutes if you leave it alone in a room temperature room, like 70 degrees Fahrenheit or something. The heat is going to slowly dissipate into the air. It's going to marginally heat up the surrounding area. It's going to heat up the table it's sitting on a little bit. It's going to leave a little warm spot. And that is entropy. When you see like heat transferring to other objects, that's entropy. When you see any kind of energy transfer, it's any kind of energy transfer, right?
Well, sort of. I think entropy is more the waste heat and disorder. So if you're trying to heat a room with a heater, that heat is not really entropy. It's your intended energy transfer, right? So anytime you have this conversion of energy, as you said, energy in the universe is constant. It just transfers from one type to another. You can transfer energy like a battery can transfer energy to motion in a kid's toy or something like that, like run a little car.
Right.
But a little bit of that energy is just lost, usually is heat. And that's more the entropy. It's like you have this equation of energy from battery goes to motion. And then there's this extra term you have to account for that you always lose. And that's just like disorganized. That's really what the entropy is.
So the entropy isn't the conversion of energy, it's the energy that is wasted during the conversion.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so there was like this experiment that they did for the first steam engines. Gottfried Leibniz.
Invented calculus.
Yeah, he was the one, I believe, that figured out like the actual equations, like how much energy it takes to get a machine to do something. And that was his big contribution, which is crazy that somebody already did that. It's like, that was what I was thinking when I was researching entropy. And of course, somebody's already done it, but it's crazy how long ago some of these equations were created. It's not like new. This isn't like a product of modern science. This is like pretty old stuff.
No, that's like 1700s Leibniz, early 1700s, late 1600s maybe. And I think he built a steam raft on the river, on the Rhine, actually, and just putted it around or something like that. But early steam engines were super inefficient. And yeah, I mean, they lost tons of energy, basically. So entropy is also reversible. We're kind of talking about it like it can never be reversed, but it is reversible, like in the world. And that's kind of, you can think of that like rebirth, right? So when you have like a baby, it's starting anew, and then it starts to get chaos and disorder. I think Jordan Peterson actually described life as a constant struggle against the cruelty of entropy.
I think he's right.
So you can think of aging as entropy, because your cells lose their telomeres. They become a little bit more disordered, and your DNA gets errors as it reproduces itself. There's mutations and errors. And so you accumulate this kind of disorder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is one of the reasons we have children and kind of restart the process with each generation. And that's because it's not a closed system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can eat plants, which have gathered energy from the sun. And that's, you're taking in fresh energy to sustain your loss as heat. You're talking about energy or entropy at a micro scale. So like the entropy that we experience or that a small system experiences, but there's also like the entropy of the universe, right? Like we talk about energy from the sun, and the sun seems to have an unlimited supply of energy, but it doesn't. It's only going to last like 4 billion more years. And then it will dissipate. And as the universe expands, it gets cooler and it gets more dispersed. So you could think of the entire universe as a system that's accumulating entropy and disorder and disbursement over time. And eventually there will be just like this vast dust cloud of no energy, and it will cool to absolute zero, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So death of the universe, maybe that's one way the universe could end. The other is a contraction. So it all crunches together in a giant fireball. And yeah.
Well, it's not going to contract. I thought we proved it's not going to contract. It's just going to continue to dissipate.
Yeah, it's unclear. I mean, I think maybe I don't remember actually which one's favored right now, but those are the two possible outcomes. And it depends on what assumptions you make.
Yeah, well, either way, it's going to return to some form of its original state. There will be no more energy. And it'll just be gone.
Well, that's not really possible, right?
I think that's the depressing
part.
I think that's where people get hung up.
Remember the conservation of energy. So the energy will still be there. It'll just be very dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about like the, I forget what you call it, the big crunches when it crunches back together. And I forget what happens if it just disperses. But it's basically the whole universe just gets really old and cools down, and there's no more stars and can't have star formation or planets forming or anything like that.
Just answered my question. I was going to say, does that mean that planets would just crumble and fall apart?
No, I mean, they could still exist. They would just be like cold, dead rocks because they've radiated all their energy away.
Okay. But this is billions of years away. We don't have anything to worry about.
Not
right
tomorrow.
Right now, you're just listening to a podcast. There's no problems. No problems. These are not the drones you're looking for.
And kids actually learn about entropy with Humpty Dumpty.
Okay, go on.
Well, Humpty Dumpty is a nursery rhyme about entropy. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again because he became dispersed, and you can't reverse that process. Humpty Dumpty is an irreversible process of entropy.
I doubt that the writer intended it to be a nursery rhyme about entropy, but I think you're right.
Yeah, probably not, because it predates the discovery of entropy, but it describes it pretty well. It's really? Unclear, actually, Humpty what Dumpty Humpty Dumpty refers entropy? To. It probably is not an egg.
Wait, what's not an egg?
Humpty Dumpty. People assume Humpty Dumpty's an egg, but it never says he is.
But isn't it's like the illustrations, right? The illustrations,
yeah,
he's an egg.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's an assumption, but the rhyme predates the illustration showing Humpty Dumpty as an egg.
Do they?
It actually might refer to some of King Henry VIII's advisors. One of what's his name? Wolsey, Cardinal Wolsey, the fall of Cardinal Wolsey, something like that. There's some historical precedents for who Humpty might actually refer to.
Really?
Yeah.
So Humpty was a real person?
Might have been. Yeah.
That's actually and he had much a great more
fall.
That's super morbid. Yeah. That's way more morbid than entropy. That's
is
like
it? No, entropy describes the death of everything in the universe. Humpty Dumpty just refers to one guy. This is why I think entropy is super depressing. Like, so we asked a question. Actually, I probably shouldn't mention it yet because this is a segment. But you think that entropy?
Oh yeah, we should tell people. We should. Yeah, okay. We should tell people. Gonna, yeah, I forgot
off,
to mention it
off.
At the top. I forgot to mention it at the top, but we do have we're going to end today's episode with some Twitter answers, not Twitter questions. We put out some feelers on Twitter about entropy, and we'll have our Earth to Damn White Guys segment at the very end this week. So yeah, that's coming up at the end. Don't fast forward. Keep watching. The laws of thermodynamics are really strange, because when you look at how they came together, it's like, you know, with I got to refer to my notes here because I'm not the fax machine, but it was, you know, Carnot developed the heat engine, and there was no thermodynamics when there was just steam engines. It was mm-hmm. Rudolf Clausius that was really the father of thermodynamics, and he kind of co-invented the first law that you can't create or destroy energy. He also discovered that that heat never transfers from a colder body to a hotter body. The thing about the laws of thermodynamics that's interesting is that it seems like we didn't really invent each law until we actually needed them, because this was the time when we were inventing machines and we needed to know how to turn heat into energy first and foremost. And so there was all this question about how heat powers things and what energy is and how it works and how much of it there could be. And so it's just kind of crazy to think that there was a time where people didn't know how energy worked. There weren't like plugs in a wall that you could just like, you know, I think we take energy for granted today, because it's just everywhere. We all pretty much have access to some kind of energy that can power some kind of device. And so we take it for granted. But there was a time where people were trying to figure out how energy works. And I think that's where people get confused about things like entropy and thermodynamics, because we're so far removed from how the stuff works. Because we're all just consuming it and we're not really working with it.
Yeah, and it almost all comes from the giant free thermonuclear reactor in the sky we call the sun. Other than geothermal energy, all the energy we use comes from the sun.
Thanks, the sun.
Yeah, thanks, sun.
It's a nice gift. You know, I think what it kind of it is inspiring to me about this idea of entropy is that it's, you know, I'm not religious and I'm not like superstitious, but I think that it's fascinating that for whatever reason, there is only a finite amount of energy in this universe. It's like it was constructed that way or something. Maybe it's just chance, but isn't it weird that we can't make it or destroy it? It's just there and we can tap into it and convert it. It's kind of weird, right?
I don't know. Lots of things are weirder. Gravity's weirder.
Gravity's pretty
weird. I mean,
weird.
It just is what it is, right? Like, that
gravity's pretty
doesn't
weird.
Really mean anything. I don't know.
I'm not,
doesn't,
I'm
it
not,
doesn't seem especially weird to me.
I'm not claiming to know what it means or where it's going or what's happening, but I just think it's interesting that if you're living, if you're conscious and you're even listening to this episode, then you are partaking in entropy. You've been elected to come dispense all your energy.
You're accidentally creating it, more like, I think.
Yeah.
Entropy is not like the useful energy you use, but no. You're actively partaking in the use of energy in some way, eating food, which drives, like the plants derive their energy from the sun. Animals that eat those plants derive their energy from the sun, ultimately. Even like hydroelectric power, it uses the sun to evaporate the water and bring it to higher, and it rolls downhill and we collect the energy. So like all the, I mean, nuclear power, some of the radioactive isotopes might actually predate the sun. So that case, they may not have been created by the sun, but they were created by other suns.
I mean, call me relentlessly optimistic, call me a masochist, call me whatever you want. But I just think it's kind of hopeful that we're all here doing it together for whatever reason. I just think it's interesting. It's like we all got to kind of figure out how to survive for something, and we're just here together doing it. There's this strange tension to living and to being, and it's like you got to survive, and in order to survive, you've got to do things that are kind of selfish, like you got to eat. That's selfish. If you eat something, that's something someone else can't eat. You're maybe eating the meat of another animal. You know, it's selfish in countless ways, surviving. But then there's also like, you know, we're mammals and we thrive when we work together and we have empathy and we're compassionate and we care about others. So there's just this, I don't know, somehow I find this tension that is life really encouraging or, you know, inspiring or something. It's like this impossible tightrope that you have to walk or something. I don't know. I'm probably not making any sense.
Except for fruit.
What about fruit?
Fruit's the one thing that the plant wants you to eat because you're just carrying its seeds around. So you're doing the plant a service.
So that's, we should all working. Be Jainists.
You're really doing the plant's bidding if you're eating the fruit.
Yeah. I'm going to be a Jainist.
Because then you eat the seeds and you poop them out all over the place and little baby plants grow.
Interesting. That's a really interesting argument.
Well, never thought of it that way. Fruits are. They're just swelled ovaries of plants that contain seeds, and they're produced by plants intentionally to be eaten by animals, to be carried around to spread their genes.
Those damn fruits. I'm just taking that one in. That one's interesting. Okay, so now it is time for Earth to Damn White Guys.
Earth to Damn White Guys. Earth to Damn White Guys.
We're taking it to Twitter. We asked, Andrew and I both asked something different. So, Andrew, why don't you go ahead and start with your poll?
I asked if people thought entropy was, and this is a poll, unfortunate, uplifting, ubiquitous, or underrated. So I thought I'd use four U's just to be interesting. And got quite a few responses, almost 400 so far. I think that people chose the right one. To some extent, ubiquitous is the most popular by far. 10% said uplifting, which I find absolutely bizarre, but I know you disagree. I think you're one of the votes there.
I'm going to take credit for the entire 10% there.
People are 39, just actually, 39% said ubiquitous. It just changed from 40. And that's definitely true. It's like Oliver, you can't stop it. 33% said underrated, which I don't really... To some extent, that sounds the same as uplifting, right? Because like it's better than you think it is, but is it though? In what way is entropy better than you think it is? Because well, I think it's pretty bad, but
underrated is still
actually,
less
there are
than
some
uplifting.
Good comments that say like we are products of entropy, right?
That's true. Yeah, that's the other thing. You can't have any of this reality without entropy, because that's the laws which
wait
it is based
a minute
on.
You just took this comment, didn't you?
What?
Well, Jonathan Metz, who's actually my friend, said,
I can't see your comments.
It seems unfortunate at first impression, but our reality might not exist without entropy. It's a scientific version of a natural order that helps align other fundamental mechanics and helps drive heat transfer, friction, radioactivity, evolution. You name it. Thank entropy, hashtag.
Who said that? I agree with that guy.
Yeah, that's Jonathan Metz.
Jonathan Metz, you're the man. I think that's what's uplifting to me about this is that it's just like, it's just one of the building blocks that we're relying on. So what else could it be? I mean, you can't really resent entropy. You can't really say it sucks that we're all going to die, because you knew you were going to die before you knew about entropy. So I don't know. It's just, to me, it's like a non-issue, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of being human, I guess. You could argue like all these things that make us mortal as humans are in some way good things because they're part of the human experience. Like, would we really have such beautiful art if we, you know, knew we're going to live forever? Like, why would bother people doing anything? Like, oh, it's just another day, just another day, right? Like, we do things to some extent, challenge ourselves and create beautiful art and poetry and literature because we're going to die. So, you know, you might as well do something cool while you're here.
That's true. I agree. Right. Andrew Beaver says, it has potential to be very depressing, but everything going towards a more evened out state is fine by me. And I think that's how I feel. I think it's just, it's also not going to affect me in my lifetime. So I'm a little biased because I'm not going to, in my lifetime, like, experience my body, like, just drifting apart from itself and, like, my energy going away. You know, it's like, it's not really a concern to us. So I don't understand why it has to be depressing. It's another generation's problem. We'll let them deal with it.
So this person sent back the equation for entropy, and it was funny.
Somebody did that to me too.
Twitter offered to translate it because it was just like an equation, but then Twitter didn't know how to translate it. It said, "Sorry, just kidding. We can't translate it for you." Yeah,
it didn't do that for me.
SF plus X function of SFG, and Twitter says translate tweet. And then it says, sorry, we're not able to translate that tweet.
That is so funny. Twitter doesn't know about entropy. Twitter has no idea.
It doesn't know about equations, really.
Yeah.
It's bad at math.
It was expecting some arithmetic, and it got entropy instead.
It thought it was a foreign language, but it was just a math equation, which is, I guess, foreign language.
Okay, so we're going to bring that to a close. We're going to wind down Earth to Damn White Guys. And in closing, I thought it would be fun to just mention a fun fact about Ludwig Boltzmann, or I think he would probably have pronounced it Ludwig Boltzmann or something like that. I don't know. He basically invented entropy. He was the one that that figured out why entropy has to exist, because people knew that energy was dissipating before him, but he was the one that figured out why energy has to dissipate and why it's a law. And what's crazy is this guy fought mainstream science his entire career, pretty much. And it was not popular, his ideas. They were seen as controversial because it meant giving up certainty. Because I think at the time people were really concerned about, like, scientific absolutism and knowing, like, with certainty how things operate. And his idea was that, you know, by exchanging scientific certainty, like the measurements of every individual particle in the universe, which would be impossible, he suggested instead that we measure the probability that a certain particle would be traveling in a specific direction at a certain speed, and that would give us more accurate measurements. And he ended up being right, but he was opposed by science pretty much his whole career. He hanged himself out in a bout of depression, and then his ideas became embraced by mainstream science 3 years after he killed himself.
Whoa.
Isn't
that's
kind of
like Alan Turing. It's depressing.
It's depressing.
See, entropy is depressing.
It is depressing.
That's what I've been telling you.
But I think what's interesting about that is that if he had just held out hope for a few more years, he would have been the top dog, you know?
Boltzmann.
And it is, I don't mean to make light of somebody doing that, because it is really sad. You know, but I think it's just, I think this is what's inspiring to me about entropy, is it's like life is a constant struggle. I think the struggle we face is entropy, and pretty much I think Jordan Peterson's right. I think every struggle we face is probably a product of entropy, but how you persevere through that entropy that makes you count as a person. So make your energy count is what I think.
Sounds like he was onto an early form of quantum mechanics.
I think he probably was. Yeah. I think he probably was. Yeah, it was his idea that things weren't static.
You gotta do it, so, yeah.
Yep, here we are. What are you gonna do?
When they come for you. Bad boys, bad boys.
Wow, you are chatting it up this episode. I think we got you started with that little warm-up earlier. Now you're the jokes machine.
It's like stretching.
Yep. Well, this has been Two Damn White Guys on Entropy. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope it was informative. I think entropy is fascinating. I don't think it has to be just depressing. It is a little sad, though. It is a little sad. We'll pay it some respect.
All good things must come to an end.
Yep, but that doesn't have to be sad. We can be happy that there was a good thing. All right, well, that was it. That does it for us today. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that. I'm at Julian Was Here. Andrew is at Mars Raider. Andrew is a lot more active on Twitter, so if you need a quick response, you can tweet him instead of me. I'm a little MIA on social media these days. If you want to support our podcast, you can do that. The most important thing you could do would be to review us on Apple Podcasts if you're enjoying the episodes. That is extremely helpful. And until next Monday, have a great week. Thanks for listening. See you guys soon. Don't think about entropy too much this week. Just let it blow.
Just let it happen.
Yeah, just let it happen. I'm a